Praise God. Amen. In the early 80s, I was in college, and my minor at Rutgers was religion. And as in my minor class, I had to take a class on world religions, and I took several of those classes, you know. And in one of those classes, we were going out on, I don't know if you call it a field trip, whatever, we were leaving the university campus, and we were going out to the home of somebody who was a self-professed Buddhist. And I never forget, because I had a little trepidation about this. I hadn't been saved very long, and I knew that Buddhism was not the answer to any man's problem, that only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And I'd learned that, was full of the joy of the Lord, and our instructor said, now we're going to go off campus, we're going to the home of this Buddhist and just participate in all the activities and so forth and so on. And so we arrived there, man, before we could even get off the bus, I was binding and loosing in the name of Jesus. I'd already determined there wasn't nothing in the Buddhist home that going to apply to me. And the lady was real nice, you know, she came out and offered us some kind of tea. I declined that. I said, I don't know what's in that tea. I ain't drinking no tea. Everybody was drinking tea in the class. I said, I ain't drinking nothing. I said, no, thank you. No, thank you. I'm good, you know. She tried to keep giving me that tea. I said, no, thank you. I was binding the tea, you know. And then, you know, she showed us all around her house and all these statues of Buddha, and she began to explain, you know, Buddhism and all this stuff. And she had all these, you know, statues and stuff. So then she said, you know, now we're going to say some incantations together. We're going to say some, you know, chant some mantras together. And so I was binding and loosing again. I said, I ain't saying nothing in the name of Jesus. I was binding and loosing under my breath. I was just using the name of Jesus. I wasn't saying nothing. I was just glad to get away from there. But she was talking about meditation the whole time and how meditation really is the key to accessing all the, you know, these Eastern cults, religions, including Buddhism. And anyway, she was talking about, and I decided then there's nothing about meditation that I want in my life. I left there binding and loosing in the name of Jesus and decided there was nothing about meditation that I wanted. But I didn't know the word. I was brand new as a Christian, and I didn't know that what I had just seen was a counterfeit of something that's very real and extremely biblical and necessary for every born-again Christian believer, and it is meditation in God's Word. So tonight, for a few moments tonight, the title of this message, Meditation, Consecration, Domination. Help me with my title tonight. Look at somebody and say, Meditation, Consecration, Domination. Because I found out that there was a biblical meditation. And that what I had seen was just the devil's, you know, Satan has a counterfeit for every good thing God has. Satan has a cheap counterfeit out there. And so, you know, as you see with these Eastern religions and philosophies that practice things like transcendental meditation and this kind of foolishness, well, you know, those are just corrupted counterfeits for what is real and authentic in the Word. I was shocked. I was on a Christian retreat, and the speaker began to speak about biblical meditation. And I got ready to bind and loose again. I was getting ready to bind and loose. I said, oh, no, I ain't got nothing to do with this meditation nonsense. But then he took us to the Word. And I saw for the first time that meditation is an extremely important part of God's Word. And so for a few moments, that's my assignment tonight, to talk with you. Meditation, consecration, domination. I found out that if there's any area in your Christian walk, any area in your Christian life, that from a fleshly point of view that seems to be dominating you, I found out that through the process of biblical meditation, you can go back to domination in any area of life through the process of biblical, word-centered meditation. And so we start, of course, here in Joshua chapter 1. If you'll go with me to Joshua chapter 1, most of my scriptures tonight, not all of them, but most of them are New American Standard. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 and then verse 11. I'll skip down to verse 11 and then we'll go over to chapter 21, read 43 through 45 and then 2 Peter 1, 4. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Now it came to pass after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given to you, just as I spoke to Moses from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Verse 11, pass through the midst of the camp, command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. So within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. Now, go over to chapter 21. I'm going to read two verses, three, 43, 44, and 45, three verses. Joshua chapter 21 at verse 43. Joshua 21, 43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give their fathers. And they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all he had sworn to their fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. 45. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. That's so good, I want to read that again. Verse 45. Not one of all the good promises which the Lord made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. And then finally, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, over in the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. All these verses go together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is a well-known passage on meditation as God speaks to Joshua so many times. You know, Joshua was Moses' servant. Joshua was an excellent minister to Moses. Joshua served Moses in the ministry, what we call the ministry of helps, and he did a fantastic job. From a youth, the Bible says that he served Moses. He was Moses, what we call a valet, his minister. He's getting Moses, you know, I'd say get his Bible, get his hat, whatever the man of God needs. Moses was doing that. I mean, Joshua was doing that for Moses. He was very comfortable in that role. You know, when Moses would go up the mountain to meet with God, it was Joshua who would meet him coming down. Moses would be coming down the mountain, and it was Joshua, his servant, who would meet him. And Joshua was very comfortable in that role. And, you know, there's a principle that I teach here at the training center that you can never be a good leader if you are not first a good follower. There's a biblical principle. You'll never be a good leader if you don't first learn to be a good follower. See, if you're doing a lousy job following right now, you ain't going to ever be a good leader. You can forget that. But good leadership is gleaned. It is taught. It is caught. It is served out first through serving. And so Joshua, he fulfilled that role. And he wasn't waiting for Moses to die off. He wasn't saying, how long is Moses going to be around till I get promoted? He was very comfortable in that role of serving. And so he was shocked when God shows up here in Joshua chapter 1 and says, Moses, my servant's dead. He's not coming back this time. Moses had disappeared many times in the presence of God, come back with the glow of glory of God on his face, and they'd put a veil on him. Moses had been in a way to meet with God and come back. It was not uncommon. But this time, Moses didn't come back, and God showed up and said, he's not coming back. My servant is dead, and now you're going to lead the people. And God, I don't have time to go. This is a different. I don't have time to go this direction, but God had already begun to prepare Joshua for that role. He had told Moses to put some of his authority on him. He had told Moses to commission him in front of the people. He had told Moses, give Joshua smaller assignments in front of the people, because God knew what was going to happen, and he was getting Joshua ready for that day. But when God tells Joshua, you're going to lead my people, Joshua was shaking in his boots. And God reveals to him a divine secret for success. And not just for Joshua's success, but for all of our success. And of course, it is what I read in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And so I heard a message on biblical meditation, and it started with this scripture and then preceding scriptures, and I was shocked to study and see, wow, God, meditation is really authentically, spiritually your idea, and the enemy has tried to corrupt it and pervert it. What is meditation? Well, meditation, it simply literally means to mutter or to speak out loud. It involves vocalizing God's word and God's promises to the point of internalizing them deeply. Meditation is simply the same process that a cow follows when a cow chews grass, and then what's called cud. The cow chews the cud and swallows the cud, and then the cow and its digestive system, it swallows it, and then it essentially regurgitates it, not to be gross, but the cow regurgitates the cud back into its mouth, and then it chews it again. And then it swallows it, and then it regurgitates it back up, and then it chews it again. And meditating in the Word of God is following that same process spiritually, where we allow God's Word to infiltrate our mind again and again and again with the idea that we're getting the word to get past our mind and down into our spirit. And when the word gets past our mind and down into our spirit and then coming out of our mouth, look out, there's a promise coming to pass. There's an answer to prayer coming to pass. So let me say this first to you, that meditating in God's word will produce fruit and answered prayer. Meditation in God's word will produce fruit and answered prayer. Go with me to John 15. John 15, we're talking about meditating tonight, meditating in God's word. He told Joshua, if you'll meditate in the word, day and night, get the word coming out of your mouth. That's what we're talking about tonight. Meditating in God's word will produce fruit and answered prayer. John 15, verse 4 in the New American Standard. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Notice the word abide, and it's used 8 times in those 6 verses that I read. The word abide. What are you saying? I'm saying that word has to do, it literally means to remain fixed on, to internalize, to stay, to remain. It literally has to do and is connected to the word meditation, Because meditation, meditating upon God's word, meditating upon the principles and the promises of God's word, listen now, meditating on God's word will enable us to abide in Jesus. And if we abide in Christ, he said right there that when we abide in him, we do what? We produce much fruit. Meditating in the word will enable you and I to abide in Christ and thereby producing much fruit. Over in the book of Galatians 5:22, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. When we meditate in God's word, these fruits of the Spirit become incorporated into our lives. And here's the thing. Here's the beautiful benefit to the Christian. If you're living a life that's up one moment and down one moment, if you're living a life that you're committed and passionate one day and you're uncommitted and unpassionate, dispassionate the next day, if you're going up and down in your walk with Christ, meditating in God's word will make you to become a stalwart Christian. Meditating in the word of God will produce fruit in your life, and that fruit will build character in your life, and that character and that fruit will produce a stalwart Christian from someone who might be just haphazardly living for Christ today, just half living for Christ today. Meditating in the word. Jesus said this, if you abide in me and I abide in you. Verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be and it will be done for you. Did we really read that in the word? I remember the first time I read that verse 7 in the word, I read it so many times, I thought, can that really be in the Bible? And of course, to exegete scripture, we have to keep scripture in its context, in its proper context. We can have a text with no context, and that leads to a pretext. So we have to keep scripture in its context. Amen. And so the scripture here, though, Jesus said what he meant what he said. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. He knows that a person who really is abiding in him is not going to ask for things that are unscriptural, is not going to ask for things that are not the will of God, is not going to ask for things that are not in the plan and timing and word of God. Somebody who's abiding in the Lord, his words abiding in them. How do we get his words to abide in us? Meditation. Meditation is what will enable God's word to abide in us. And when we do that, not only are we going to produce fruit with our life, not only are we going to live a stalwart Christian life, we're going to see answers to prayer. So meditating in God's word will produce fruit and answered prayer. Listen, secondly, meditating in God's word will produce success and prosperity. Let me go back real quick to what he said to Joshua. He said in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. How many know God is interested in your success? I appreciate those two hands. God wants you and I to be successful. And whatever we do, there are some people who don't believe that God even wants them to be successful, but they're not applying the word properly. Here, God's telling Joshua, hey, everything you do, I'm going to make it a success. I'm going to make everything you do be successful. And God promised Israel the land. He promised Israel they'd overcome their enemies. He promised Israel he'd given them all the land of Canaan. He would put out all of their enemies. And what I read to you in the scripture there at the end, in Joshua 21:43, God honored every single promise. But he gave Joshua the key. It was to meditate in the word. Let me ask you this. When did God tell him to meditate in the word? Day and night. That implies some effort on the part of the individual. God told him, my word's going to have to be in your mouth day and night. And so I never forget when I was listening to that first message on biblical meditation, and the speaker said this. He said something that blew my mind. He said there was an area that was dominating me in my Christian walk, and I got scriptures from the word of God, and I compiled those scriptures, and I began to meditate day and night. And he said, now for the day part, I wrote those scriptures on little index cards, and not smaller than an index card. He said,
a little small card. And he said, I put the scriptures on a little small card and put it in my pocket or something. And when I was at the red light, I'd pull out one of those scriptures and read it. He said, when I'm at lunch, I'd pull out one of those scriptures and read it. He said, when I'm on my break, I'd pull out one of those scriptures. He said, when I'm just, you know, have a couple of minutes, I'd pull out those scriptures throughout the day. And he said, and at night, he said, I actually would set my alarm at 2 a.m. And he said, I would wake up just and spend 20 minutes. I'd set the alarm, get up 20 minutes, meditate in God's word, and go back to bed. Then he said this. He said, the area that was hindering my Christian walk, my Christian growth, I began to dominate. What was dominating me, the coin flipped, and I began to spiritually, as a stalwart Christian, dominate in that area. He said, I had no more trouble in that area. He said, I'd meditate at night 20 minutes. He said, I said I wouldn't stay up longer than 20 minutes. He said, because then I'd wake up all the way and then I'd be up too long. He said, but I'd get up, stay up 20 minutes, meditate the word, and go back to bed. And so I thought, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of, getting up at 2 a.m. But Brother Bill gonna try it. And so I set my alarm. And man, I got up at 2 a.m. and I was sleepy and groggy, but I meditated the word, went right back to bed. Did that for a couple of weeks, and then I forgot to set my alarm, and guess what time I woke up? Woke up at 2 a.m., began to meditate. And the areas of my Christian walk that had dominated me, I found myself through Christ, in Christ, because of the victory that Christ gives, I found myself walking in domination in those areas as I learned how to meditate the Word of God. And I found out that meditation in God's word has transformative power. But most people don't want to meditate in the word. You know why? Because it takes a little time to do it. It takes human effort. But if Joshua had not meditated in God's word, we would not read at the end of Joshua 21, how God fulfilled every promise, how God kicked out all their enemies, how God gave them possession of all the land. It was all a result of meditating in the mighty word of God. And guess what? Today, he's given you and I what we read from 2 Peter 1:4, whereby has been given on us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given you and I exceeding great and precious promises. And the real question is, what are we doing with them? Because so often we have a casual glance at the promises of God. And what we have to have is a consistent, meditative glance at the. Now, I'm not telling you to get up at 2 a.m. You don't have to do that. That did work for me, but I'm not telling you you have to do that. But what I'm saying, if you'll make time out of your schedule, whenever that is, to meditate the word of God, God's word will transform your mind. God's word will get down on the inside of you with a transformative effect in your mind, in your spirit, in your body. Listen, meditating in God's word, there's no doubt it will produce success. It will produce prosperity. It did for Joshua. It will for you and I. Go to Psalm 1, Psalm chapter 1. The psalmist wrote in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Isn't that interesting? The scripture says right here that the blessed man is not walking, he's not standing. Notice the progression. The scripture shows the progression of compromise. And the enemy, one of his main tricks, one of his old tricks is to try to get you and I to compromise in some area. But the scripture says here, the man who's blessed doesn't walk, notice the progression, doesn't stand, notice the progression, doesn't sit at the seat of scoffers. And really, there's another progression, because if you compromise following the enemy's plan and you start walking in the way with sinners and sitting and then and standing and then sitting, you'll wind up kneeling. You'll wind up kneeling at some false idol. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And what's he do? He meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree. What kind of tree? a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. God wants you and I to prosper. In meditating, we have to do something with our mind. In meditating, we have to do something with our mouth. Psalm 37, verse 3. Psalm 37, verse 3 in the Passion Translation. Psalm 37, verse 3. Keep trusting in the Lord. Do what is right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will dwell in the land, feasting on his faithfulness. Find your delight and true pleasure in Yahweh, and he will give you what you desire most. God will plant desires in our heart. God will give us the desires of our heart. But when we meditate in God's word purifies our heart. And God's word purifies our motives. Over in James, James told spirit-filled Christians, you have not because you ask not. And then he told them, you have not because you ask amiss and you ask with wrong motives. And he said, you're not receiving from God because some of them weren't asking. And then others who were asking had wrong motives while they were asking. But when you meditate the word of God, God's word will purify your motives. And God's word will reveal to you and show you and plant desires in you. And then as you call in faith for him to fulfill those desires, he'll do it. There in Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness. That phrase there, cultivate faithfulness, there's a footnote in my Bible. It says literally do this, feed on his faithfulness. It says, the footnote in my Bible there in Psalm 37 says feed, to cultivate faithfulness is to feed upon his faithfulness. And what meditation does for you and I, one of the things, it enables us through meditation, we feed on the faithfulness of God. And when you feed on the faithfulness of God, and the enemy comes to you trying to convince you that God is not faithful, that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't see you, that God doesn't care about you, when you feed on God's faithfulness, you can instantly reject that. Your days as a weak Christian will leave. You will grow into a stalwart Christian meditating on the word of God and feeding upon his faithfulness. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, in the King James, do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There, the powerful admonition, no doubt we've read many times, be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. But how do we renew our mind? We renew our mind through meditating in God's word, meditating in the word of God. I remember a time very early in my Christian walk when I worried a lot. My mom had been ill. My mom and dad had been divorced. I was approaching graduation from college and unsure what direction I was going to be going in. I felt called as a minister, but didn't know what that was going to mean or how that was going to play out. And a couple of my sisters were in crisis in some areas, and I worried all the time is what I'm saying. I worried a lot. And one day, the Lord spoke to me, to my heart, and he told me, I'm going to teach you from my word how to not worry. And I had no idea. He was talking about, he was going to teach me how to meditate in the word on the subject of trusting him. And so I read Isaiah 26:3. I'll keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. And I began to meditate on that. I'll keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. And I could see, oh, wait a minute. My job is to keep my mind on him. His job is to keep me in perfect peace. I can't do his job and he won't do my job. If I don't keep my mind stayed on him, he can't keep me in perfect peace. And so then I started keeping my mind on him when worrisome thoughts would come and troublesome thoughts would come. I'd say, no, I'm going to resist the temptation to worry. I'm going to meditate in God's word. And then this would happen. God's peace would come on me. And then I continue to read. Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. 33. I began to read in God's word, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. Thank God. Oh, glory to God. God will guard our heart and God will guard our mind. And so often we get the cart ahead of the horse on this, and we want God to give us peace. God, give me peace. God, give me peace. And we entertain worrisome, troublesome thoughts. God, give me peace. God, give me peace. God, give me peace. When the scripture said, be anxious for nothing. The first part is us being anxious for nothing. It's us making a decision, deciding we're not going to be anxious, deciding we're going to obey God. And as you meditate, you think through this process. It's the cow chewing the cud. It's the cow bringing up the word again and again and thinking about each meaning. And so when the decision is made, be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. And so I read John 14, 27. And Jesus said, peace I give you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, and neither what? Neither let it be afraid. Jesus promised to give you and I his peace. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care on him, because he what? He cares for you. But you see, so often, well-meaning believers, and I've done that, you cast your care on the Lord, and then you just pull it right on back. You say, well, Lord, where's your peace? Well, Lord, where's your peace? Well, you dragged your cares right back to you. Meditating in the Word will transform your life. I invite you to make a little extra time. Maybe on your lunch break at work, maybe when you first get up in the day, maybe before you go to bed at night, I encourage you to make some time to meditate God's word and watch his word transform your life in any and every area. You'll go from being dominated to dominating when you meditate the word. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. Thank you for giving us all the key. You revealed the secret. You revealed the mystery to Joshua 1:8 in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, over in Philippians 4:8, Psalm 115, Psalm 119, verse 15. You've revealed throughout the scriptures your plan for biblical meditation. And so I pray that through the Spirit you would impress upon these who have heard this message individually how this might apply to them and what area of life might they need to apply your word in the area of meditation. And then, Father, I thank you for your transformative power. I thank you for the reality of your peace. I thank you for the power of your presence, and I thank you for answered prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You here tonight? And if you need anything from the Lord, our prayer workers are coming. How we do it on Wednesday night, this anointed gentleman here and these anointed ladies are here to pray with you. And if you need anything from the Lord, you say, I want to be born again. Can I get born again? Yeah, come on down here. Just if you're a guy, come over to this gentleman. If you're a lady, come over to one of these ladies, okay? But other than that, come on. You want to be born again? You want to be filled with the Spirit? You got something that's been bothering you. There's an area of your life that's been bothering you and you want prayer. You want to start out fresh and get somebody to pray with you so that you can meditate. Come on down here. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Hey, thank you for coming Wednesday night. And be here Sunday morning, school Bible hour at 9 a.m. And then a power pack message at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. You be here. Hey, keep the Hagans all in prayer. Don't we love them? Don't we love all our pastors, Hagans and Burns? Keep them all in prayer. We love them and thank God for using them. So you be safe going home. We'll see you next time. God bless.